Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, encourage girls in maths and science to change macho tech culture and change at all levels needed to advance gender equality in the workplace. But first, changing the way science and mathematics are taught could help increase the number of women employed in the aerospace industry, according to a senior advisor with the United States Space Agency, NASA. NASA Deputy Chief Scientist Gail Allen said studies show the traditional methods of teaching the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, do not take into consideration how women learn. Ms. Allen participated in a networking breakfast for women in the space industry worldwide that took place in Dubai on Monday. It was held in connection with this week's high-level forum on the link between space and sustainable development, organized by the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs and the United Arab Emirates. Deanne Penn asked Ms. Allen for a snapshot of women's involvement in the U.S. aerospace industry.
For NASA, we have about 18,000 employees, 63% are scientists and engineers, and of that 63%, 23% are women. So I attended a summit, an aerospace workforce summit in September, and unfortunately it's very similar throughout the aerospace industry. So we've been working really hard on trying to figure out what the root cause is and trying to find ways to mitigate that so that we can improve the number of women, the statistics that are in science, technology, engineering, math in the aerospace world.
And so what is behind the low participation of women? I mean, some people would say that percentage 20 plus is good, but apparently not, right?
Well, it's good. I mean, if you look years before, it's much lower. But for right now, we really think that a diverse workforce is the most innovative workforce. And so we're trying to, both minorities and women, we're trying to address that and bring that up to a level. It doesn't have to be 50-50, but a little bit higher percentage than what we have, just to increase our innovation.
And what are some of the barriers to women entering into this sector?
Some of the things we've understood and looked at are the fact that women tend to want to have families, and it's hard to balance both. They may have a STEM education, but they don't use it. Others think it's too hard. Others think that, as I mentioned earlier as well, is that women learn differently than men, and so the traditional way of teaching science and math is really based on males, and so we're trying to bring awareness to educators that we need to change the way that we're teaching in order to bring women into the fields.
I wonder if you can expand on that and tell us what needs to be done so that women can learn STEM in a way that benefits them.
Well, one of the things is that studies have shown that women like to see application. So instead of sitting in a classroom with a book working calculus formulas, they really want to see what the application to that is. So some professors I know that have been at NASA for a short period of time and gone back to the academia are using like the International Space Station and the phenomena of microgravity and applying that to physics formulas. So they look at a video and then they use the formulas to explain what's happening in microgravity. Those kinds of are the things or applications that we're talking about, where you can actually make it real.
Change is needed at all levels of society to advance gender equality in the workplace, according to a senior United Nations official. Experts from around the world are gathering in Panama on Monday at the UN-backed Third Business Forum on Gender Equality and will focus on how the private sector can advance parity and build inclusive work environments. Randy Davis is the director of the gender team at the UN Development Program, UNDP. Daniel Dickinson asked her what key issues women across the world were facing in the workplace.
Well, we know that women globally continue to earn on average 24% less than men. And they are also generally concentrated at the lower end of the ladder. So one of the important aspects of our work is to push women into decision-making positions in the workplace and also make sure that they are retained throughout their career and they're progressing in their career. So we want to see women who now we see in many regions of the world coming out with this similar education levels, if not higher than men, but we do not see them advancing in their professional careers at the same rate.
Where does change need to come?
We need change at all levels. We need public policies that enable women to advance in their careers. This means putting in place policies for care, to have a change in mindset so that the burdens of caring for children and caring for the elderly are shared between women and men, and also that there are public provisions of the system. We also need a change in gender biased behavior and workplace practices to make sure that women can advance in the workplace environment. And really, these are the types of issues UNDP is working on, both with the governments that we support, but also with the private sector.
And where is the impetus for change coming from right now?
There's a global impetus for change right now. Women are demanding to have their rightful place in advancing in their careers. There is also a recognition that advancing gender equality is a necessary precondition for better business development and for increasing growth in our society. So, for example, there was just a report released called the Global Gender Gap Report. It was released by the World Economic Forum, calling for business to prioritize gender equality as a critical talent and moral imperative. And it suggests that in doing so, we could actually add $240 billion to the GDP of the UK, over $1 billion to the GDP of the United States, $500 billion to Japan. So if you really look, you see that this is not only an imperative for women, but it's an imperative for society more broadly.
Exposing young girls to science and maths might help end the macho culture in the tech industry, according to a senior executive with one of the world's biggest computer companies. Astrid Tumines is a regional director for Microsoft in Southeast Asia. She believes it would be a shame if only half of humanity were excluded from a sector that overflows with opportunities and careers. Ms. Tumines was in Bangkok for an annual gathering organized by the International Telecommunication Union, the UN agency that deals with issues related to information and communications technologies, ICT. Maximilian Jacobson Gonzalez began by asking Ms. Tumines about her participation in a panel on how ITCs can help achieve the Sustainable Development Goals.
As you may know, there are 17 of these SDGs, and my own company, Microsoft, has aligned itself with 8 of the goals, including education, health, work, gender equality, and so on. And one of the insights there is that the SDGs are aspirational, but they do give us a guide on what we as companies could do with our resources. And one of the critical innovations today in the world is really cloud computing. And with a public cloud today, so many of the barriers to education, to commerce, to communication have fallen down.
We've been, as ITU, have been very involved in encouraging girls to get involved in the ICT sector. From your perspective, why is it tough for women to get into the tech industry, and what do you think can be done to redress that balance?
Yeah, so it is no news to anybody that the tech industry is very male-dominated. And if you look back to the 80s, there were actually more young women studying computer science than there are today. So there is an enormous amount of maybe perception blockage when girls see that that's mainly for men, or when you are in it and the culture can be so macho. And there are plenty of examples about that that journalists have covered. So what can we do? I think the tech companies, governments, universities, we all can contribute to, first of all, encouraging young girls, exposing them to as much problem-solving experiences, science and mathematics, because all of that can be a lot of fun. And what we do in Microsoft is programs that introduce girls to digital literacy, to computational logic, to computer science, and at the same time exposing them to the wide range of careers that you can have in the tech industry.
Do you think there is a chance for gender equality and mainstreaming in technology?
The tech industry is not unique in some ways. So if you look at women's pathways to leadership, corporate world or in government, you will see that there is a vulnerable time when there are high dropout rates. And that's around the time when women start having children. And corporations that are serious about nurturing, cultivating, and deploying female talent should be sensitive to that phase, because that is when support is needed.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.